All right, the spiritual significance of the number six. In order to understand what the number six means in biblical terms, it would be best to see its most important connection to the pinnacle of God's creation, mankind, physical creation. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." God's words reveals in Ecclesiastes 3:19, "For that which befalls the sons of men befalls beasts. Even one thing befalls them, as the one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all his vanity." Now, I'm just going to add right here that word breath is the same word translated spirit. It's ruach, R-U-A-C-H, the Hebrew word ruach. They all have one spirit, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast. And that's a true statement without Christ in us. We see God wants man to have preeminence over or dominion over all the creation, but in the next breath, we're told that we're just like the beasts and have no preeminence above them. So which is it? And how do we come to the point where we actually have dominion over all flesh? And that's a good point right there, because all those creatures that were mentioned there that we're supposed to have dominion over just signify the flesh, all the flesh. And that's what Genesis 1:26 says that we're supposed to have dominion over our flesh. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding number the beast. Count the number of the beast, for it's the number of mankind. Anthropos is the Greek word. Mankind, it means mankind. And the number of mankind is 600, threescore, and six. The word for man in this verse is anthropos and refers to mankind just as any man, not just any man, but men and women, all men and women. From G 436, 435, the countenance, taken from 3700, man-faced, that is, human being, certain man. God has told us that if we want wisdom and understanding about mankind, we should count the number of the beast, which is 666. By doing so, we should come to see how our dominion over all flesh will come by way of a process, which is to be understood as having dominion over the spirit realm by bringing our own marred flesh into subjection to Christ by way of the Holy Spirit, which he gives us. Jeremiah 18, verse 4. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. So, without any further ado, I hope the scriptures will convict those who read this, if they've not already been convicted, that man was created as incomplete, marred vessel for a glorious purpose. The number six denotes that which is not yet complete. And it has much to say about the process of reaching the ultimate perfection, which flesh and blood cannot obtain nor inherit. 1 Corinthians 15:50 makes it clear that man is not complete. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, "Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, cannot. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption." Flesh is corruptible. It's corruptible. It'll never be anything else. Firstly, the number is not just the single number 6, 666. The original Greek is to be understood as a series of three sixes, showing us there's a process to be learned from this 666 series of the same number. The number three can be shown in God's word to represent process. We've been over the number three, so we should have that in mind, especially the process of being judged, which process is always closely tied to the destruction of the flesh. This article on MP3 audio file will bring out the truth of this matter in God's word. There's the study on the number six. The symbolism in the Garden of Eden reveals right from the beginning that all flesh, including Christ's flesh, is sinful flesh and is tied to the earth. The symbolism in the Garden of Eden will help us establish more clearly the connection between the number six and the earth, the church, mankind, and Christ himself. Hopefully, we will see the broader sense of its meaning wherever we come across it in the Word of God, revealing to us both the negative and positive points surrounding the number six. The next part of this study on the number six is taken from Mike Benson's article, After the Counsel of His Own Will, Does Mankind Have Free Will? So he's going to be quoting that article here for a few minutes, and is added to help us see the connection the number six has to the earth and everyone, including Christ, who is also an earthen vessel. The quote from this article can be found in the After the Counsel of His Own Will. Here's that quote. Few people notice the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has the same root. The tree of the knowledge of good has the same root as the tree of the knowledge of evil. It's all one tree. Consequently, they're confused as to why Cain's offering to God was rejected. After all, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Few indeed are given eyes to see that it was God himself who planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Fewer still see that both good and evil have the same root. However, there is much more revealed here in chapter 2 of Genesis. Genesis 2:9, out of the ground, the dust, made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The truth, which seems to be the least understood is that even the tree of life is made to grow out of the ground. The truth of this simple statement gives the lie to Satan's "you shall not surely die" untruth of Genesis 3:4. Satan convinced Adam and Eve of a lie which has been ensconced in Adam's children from the beginning. In effect, Satan told our parents, and is still telling us today, is that you shall never surely die. Christ tells us, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's why Christ had to come in the flesh and partake of our earthy dust composition. Out of the ground made the Lord to grow the tree of life. Christ is the tree of life, and he too came out of the ground through his mother. Both trees grow out of the ground. What this tells us about ourselves is that they, mankind, might see that they themselves are beasts. Paul puts it like this, 1 Corinthians 15:46, "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward the finished product, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." Clearly, that which is natural is not completed, is not the completed product. That which is spiritual, the second man, the Lord from heaven, is the completion of the Lord's creation. God's word shows us that the number six is tied to the redemptive process by way of the flesh, the earth. Now, that's the end of that quote out of that article, After the Counsel of His Own Will. Now, speaking of this is Tony Terry now. Speaking of the church in the wilderness, we read in the book of Jeremiah, thus saith Jeremiah 22, verses 1 and 2, "Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sits upon the throne of David, you, your servants, and the people that enter in by these gates." They're all the same. It's all the same thing, same people. In the same chapter, this statement in verse 29, to the king of Judah, the people are the king of Judah and the people that enter by these gates are three times referred to as earth, earth, earth. Jeremiah 22, 29, speaking to the same people, "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. The Lord considers mankind to be the earth." The Holy Spirit calls the king of Judah and the people who enter the people who enter in by these gates, earth, earth, earth. The fact that the word earth is repeated three times reveals to us that there is a three-step process of judgment for all flesh, including Christ's flesh, which is connected to the ground, to the earth. For further clarification on this point, read the following article, 3 Days and Three Nights in the Grave. Hebrews 9:15, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called might receive the promise, might receive promise, the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. This process of bringing forth much fruit by the seed falling into the ground and dying is another way of saying the hope of glory, which is within us and that is experienced day to day as we die daily and go from glory to glory. Colossians 1:27, to whom the Lord would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery of dying to get life among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:31 tells us, I protest by rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. We all do it if Christ is in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Nothing we do, it's all a work he's doing, and we can't stop it. The riches of the glory of this mystery, which is being made known among the Gentiles, is that being the physical seed of Abraham does not complete the Lord's creation. What does complete the Lord's creation is the second man, the Lord from heaven, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 46 and 47. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Flesh and blood must be put off and replaced by a new creation, which is formed in the weakness of the first creation, by way of a process, the number three, of the destruction of the flesh, the number six, stated as such in this verse in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 1:13. I applied my heart to inquiring and exploring by wisdom concerning all that is done under the heavens. It's an experience of evil Elohim has given the sons of humanity to humble them by it. An evil experience is necessary to be saved from sin. You can't be saved from sin if you don't have an evil experience. Again, in Ecclesiastes 3:19, we are reminded that this experience of evil and the accompanying wisdom and the process of being judged is connected to mankind and can be derived by understanding the symbol 666. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. Ecclesiastes 3:19, for that which befalls the sons of men befalls beasts. Even one thing befalls them. As the one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they all have one ruach, breath, spirit, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast for all his vanity. All things in the flesh, by God's estimation, shortly come to pass, seeing our life is but a vapor in his sight. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We live by every word of God. Now, the primary way to look at Scripture is in the inward application or the present application of that inward word inwardly within each of our own lives. Then we can gain a greater appreciation for the sum of God's word signified. God's signified word on the subject of the number six. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. See the word sign there and the word signified? Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, we're going to see that the earth is cursed from the Garden of Eden. The scriptures demonstrate that man is a beast connected to the earth, redeemed out of it by Christ, who started the redemptive process by being that preeminent seed of Adam to die and to redeem us by his death. And all of this is declared from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn to my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Romans 5:10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciled by his death, saved by his life. Colossians 1:18. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Christ was the first person to be raised from the dead and given a spiritual body. No one in the Old Testament was given that. If they were, then Christ wasn't the first to be raised up and given a spiritual body. Christ had to be beastly Adam, Adamic flesh, in order to reconcile us to his Father, to our Father. But Christ goes on to tell us that unless he is resurrected, we will remain in our sinful fleshly condition and not be able to receive the Comforter, which will finish this process of redemption by entering into our flesh to work a process which finds its fullness or its perfection in the resurrection, the third day. It's not full or perfected or complete until the seventh day. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for me that I go away, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Luke 13:32. And he said to them, go and say to that fox, he's talking about Herod, King Herod, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures tomorrow, today and tomorrow, and the third day I am perfected. Not in his body of flesh, the third day when he's resurrected. This is the hope of glory, and this, and six cannot go into completion, which is the symbolic meaning of the number seven, until there is a perfecting agent within us, namely Jesus Christ. Christ within us is the hope of glory, not the fullness of that glory, but the hope of it, which will eventually save all men by giving us dominion over all the beasts of the earth within us. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. When he says, which is the earnest, he's talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit in the previous verse. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. When anytime I quote Timothy's, especially Chapter 2, verse 4, which says the same thing. He's the Savior of all men, who will have all men to be saved, is what verse 4 says. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. I always throw in Job 23:13, because everyone that is in Babylon wants to make that verse say, oh, yeah, he would love for you to be saved if you would just if you would just do it, let him. If you just let him, but your free will sometimes doesn't let him. So no, that's not what it means at all. They say he desires for you to be saved. If he desires it, then that's what's going to happen. And that's what Job 23:13 says. What he desires, even that he does. And then we've got 1 John 2:2. Did I read that whole verse? Let me read 1 Timothy 4:10 again. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who's the Savior of all men, specially, not exclusively, specially, first. In other words, first, those that believe. 1 John 2:2. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man. That is in the call stem. It's just like saying, like using the aorist tense in the New Testament, something that's going on. Let us be making man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Earth means us. Oh, earth, earth, earth. Always talking about us all the way through there. The earth is cursed from the beginning of creation. It's marred in the hand of the potter and shapen in iniquity. The number six is not seven and is not complete, but not completely without hope either. As the story progressed for mankind, God uses the temple itself as a shadow of the great hope of glory, which is Christ in the temple, which temple we are. The number six comes up in this regard among many other shadows in God's holy temple. And these shadows are showing us the process through which flesh must go in order to be justified and glorified by God. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate before they were ever born, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Makes it sound like it's all over and done, but it's in the aorist tense, and it's something he's in the process of doing. I have emboldened every verb in Romans 8:30. Every verb in that verse is a Greek aorist tense, which signifies a process which is not yet complete. One example of this being used is the 11 curtains in the temple of God. The curtains represent our flesh, and a few scriptures to confirm this point can be found at Hebrews 10:25. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Our access to God is through that curtain, through the death of Christ, to the death of his flesh. The curtain which symbolizes flesh is rent in two, and the number two symbolizes the witness of Christ within us, who makes a way for us to enter into the Holy of Holies by destroying the old man, the sinful nature, everything which separates us from God. In other words, our flesh. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, so much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This study below shows more clearly the spiritual significance of the 11 curtains in the tabernacle. The number 11 spiritually signifies the ruin and death of the flesh. That's the significance of the number 11, which we'll get to in time. It's through that death of the flesh that we have the hope of life, because 5 plus 6 equals 11. Now, here's the link to that study. There's a temporary tabernacle which precedes a more permanent tabernacle. But do not think that even the temple is not to be vigilantly purged and purified. Exodus 26, verse 7. And you shall make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. Even 11 curtains shall you make. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Death, blood signifies death. And without the shedding of blood, without death, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in heaven should be purified with physical blood, but the heavenly things themselves must be purified with better sacrifices than these. 11 curtains covered the temporary tabernacle. 11. I think that's an incredible place for the number 11 to appear in the temple of God, because it signifies ruin and degradation of the flesh. This tabernacle first received the tablets of the first covenant for the lawless, as it says in 1 Timothy 1:9. It endured the trials of the wilderness and the lawless days of the judges. It was covered with 11 curtains. Deuteronomy 1:2. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Now, Kadesh Barnea is right on the edge of the promised land. 12 days would have taken Israel right into the promised land. 11 is one day short of 12, and therefore Israel at this point is not well founded. Korah and his 250 famous men of renown have not yet raised their ugly heads. We can also note that the number 6 plus 5 equals 11, and shows that the number 11 carries with it the mark of the beast, and 5, grace and faith, which is how all men will be saved and brought to the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is represented by the number 12. Here's the link to our last study on the spiritual significance of the number 5. The last two kings of Israel reigned for 11 years and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, God is showing us that as long as we're in earthen vessels, we will not be considered complete. Christ himself was not complete while he was in the body of flesh. That's why he said, "Why do you call me good? I'll be perfected on the third day." The porch of the temple is also 11 cubits, and we will need to be perfected until this verse is fulfilled outwardly. Revelation 21, verse 22. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Christ and the body of Christ can be connected to the number 6. Now we're going to pause our study at this point, and in our next study, we'll learn how the number 6 is connected to the body of Christ. So thank you all for coming out, and we'll continue our study Sunday.